Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am very, very excited about today's show. Hey, first off, I got to apologize about having to move yesterday's show. For those who tuned in to hear my talk with singer-songwriter Eddie Mann, that will be happening this coming Saturday. We had a scheduling conflict that had come up, and we had to move that show, but not so for today's show. I am just super jazzed and pumped for today's show because, we have a writer, director, and producer of, a little indie film that, kind of just takes place with, in our own world. Not at all, ladies and gentlemen. We have a writer and producer, director, a fantastic world. They decided, let's create a whole world. And, and not only that, it's the first of a trilogy. So talk about ambitious, and it works. So without further ado, I would like to welcome director and co-writer, Mr. Cody Zien, and of course, producer, and I'm hoping I'm going to say her name right, Lozen Fukum.
Hooray!
I'm cooking with grief. Lozen, whenever I see those, I don't even know what they're called, Ugots or something. I don't think that's the right word. The two dots over the U. Yeah, it just it intimidates me. But what can I say? I think it's awesome. With a name like that, you got to be a movie producer or a spy. You could win either way.
Maybe both. Maybe both.
Maybe both. What a good cover, right? Cody, my head. Okay, first off, let me just say, I am starting out, I'm a science fiction. I'm not in the movie business. I'm a painter by trade, but I am definitely a cinephile. I'm that friend you have that, has the outdoor backyard theater and makes his friends watch movies with subtitles and drives everybody crazy, I'll throw out Frank Capra references, and nobody knows what the hell I'm talking about. But I am into film, maybe. And sci-fi film, even more so. I was just having this conversation last night with a friend of mine, and I don't think there's a sci-fi, like even bad sci-fi, I have to watch it. It's just something since I was a kid that I'm just really into. Here's a great sci-fi film. Like I said, I was kind of joking a little bit at the beginning. You guys created an entire world, and that's pretty pretty impressive, for independent film. You know what I mean? This was awesome.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. We're really happy with where we're at right now. It was a lot of hard work and a long time coming, but we wanted to do a whole thing,
Oh, I'm telling you, that it just didn't, that, again, let me ask you this. Something I've learned since doing the show is about film time, movie time, and I don't mean the length of a movie. I mean, when I was blissfully ignorant, I would see something on TV or see a movie, and I would say, they knocked that out last month, and here it is, and that usually isn't the case. It's a big project. I can't even imagine doing an undertaking like that, where it's sometimes years in the process before we even know about it, out here in the public. Was this a long project, or was it relatively quick as far as independent film goes?
It's definitely a long project. I'd say idea conception was 2013.
Oh wow!
So yeah, so I think, you know, from the idea and then, you know, writing, and we were scouting locations at the time, and we, you know, we wanted to do things like a little differently and kind of build the world right and a fan base in the real world, you know, as we went along with this, to, because we knew, you know, we wanted to be more than just one film and then we're done, you know, type of thing. So to build that traction, you know, slowly over time, I mean, we, you know, we wrote and we went and filmed like a concept teaser at the locations that we wanted to film at to, you know, proof of concept and be able to show all these visuals mm-hmm. of this world we wanted to build to, you know, potential fans or cast and crew. And we pulled around a gardening wagon at a Comic-Con because we couldn't afford booth space, and we solicited the people there and passed out business cards with the teaser trailer and like, hey, give us your email and we'll do this. And then, you know,
I love it.
Fast forward four years later, we're at the same Comic-Con with a double booth with all this stuff, and the movie's done, and here's the real trailer. And they walk by and they're like, Monochrome's back. That's probably one of my like favorite things from the whole experience. But yeah, so since 2013, we filmed in 2017. We did a year of post for obvious reasons, and then we did a year of like festivals promoting, and here we are.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, Lozen, I imagine, you know, in my mind, I picture Lozen was in her office, sitting at her desk, her fingers, you know, put together, you know, on top, and in comes Cody, and he says, hey, I've got this idea. Here's my proof of concept. And Lozen watched it and went, brilliant. Let's make it happen. Was it something like that, Lozen? Am I correct?
Oh, no, not even close. But I love the way you put it. Maybe that's what I'll go with from now on. So with everything, Cody and I are actually married. We have two children and lots of animals. So, you know,
amazing.
We were in the car. Yeah. We were in the car and he was like, hey, you know, I've got this idea for a black and white world and this is what I want to do. And with everything that we have done, Cody will come to me with ideas and he's like, all right, this is what I want to do. And from there, you know, we kind of work together and things snowball. So, you know, they say that sometimes husbands and wives shouldn't work together, but in all honesty, I think that whenever husbands and wives do work together, you know, it just creates that much more passion. It creates, an end result that I think is even better had they not been together, because you have two people that are on the same wavelength. They know each other. They can read each other's minds, and that's a beautiful thing to be able to do. You know, Cody said, for obvious reasons, it took a year in post, but something that I would like to touch on is this whole entire production, the Chromism, it was supposed to start as a short to set up the trilogy. Mm. And as I stated previously, things snowball. You know, we had a budget of $2,000 to execute this project. And
really?
Then, you know, we were calling friends and stuff. And Cody worked for a hospital, and he knew the president of the hospital really well. And so I would encourage him, you know, we have all of these resources to put something together that would be phenomenal. Mm. So let's go ahead and start using those resources. And that's what we did. And then Cody, you know, it took him a year. He was working for this hospital still. And it took him a year to get through post because he did all of it himself. And that was a huge undertaking for him, to the point to where, you know, we have our creative agency and stuff on the side. And that became basically a full-time gig. So like, hey, why don't you quit the hospital stuff. Let's focus on Monochrome. Let's get it done. Let's get it out there.
Right.
And he did that, you know. So it was a huge undertaking. Yeah. And I've told him from now on, like, I love you and stuff, but you can't be doing all these different shots. But even though he does them beautifully, but there was even a moment where he was working on it so much, and I was like, well, why don't we just move the bed into the studio? Because I kind of miss you. So, you know, that's what ended up happening.
Right.
We moved our bed into the studio to get through it.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Well, on so many different levels. Number one, you know, I happen to have a wife too, and I agree with you completely. She is my first, you know, whether it be projects or even individual paintings. You know, I'll show them to her first and say, well, what do you think? You know, is it working? Can you tell? You know, what's coming to your mind? You know, I mean, that's who I bounce stuff off of. And it was interesting. I remember in myself in dealing and being married and whatnot, it, from an artistic point of view, you know, sometimes she'll say stuff and I'll need, in my mind, I knee jerk. Well, that isn't it at all. You know, that's just a terrible idea, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I've already kind of have an idea in my head, but I've learned that she kind of knows what she's talking about and I'll mull it over before I do. I put that knee jerk to the side for a minute and I'm thinking, well, let's look at it from her point of view. And yeah, and 9 times out of 10, she's usually right. And that's worked out real well for me. So it's great that you guys, that it's working like that with you both working on these projects. And Cody, man, isn't it nice that you don't have to, you know, you're selling an idea anyway to, you know, get this done to friends and contacts and potential investors and whatnot. And the last thing you need to be doing is selling the idea to your wife. You know what I mean?
Right.
Isn't it nice that you don't have to do that?
Right.
That is amazing. And, you know, it's just, you're getting it done. You're getting that hustle. And people can say what they want about, you know, it's great to be a quarterback and it's great to have that talent, but it is so much easier to get that ball down the field when you got somebody out on the field with you, you know, on a team. And that's amazing. That is amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, you know,
and
that's cool.
Kudos to your wife, because it's not easy, but, you know, it, like I said, it's an opportunity to deepen your relationships and compassion and love for one another. So that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I'm a simple guy, and, you know, it's funny. My wife kind of knows how to, I hate to use the term work me, because I don't mean that in a negative connotation, but, you know, if something needs to be done, you know, if the washing machine breaks, she, you know, she very politely sits me down and says, okay, Picasso, we need to get a washing machine. And,
right.
In almost a challenging way, because she knows that's my rocket fuel, you know what I mean? And I, okay, well, here we go. And, you know, a couple days later, we have a washing machine. That's just how that happens. She hasn't told me big bags of money yet. That's the thing. We need a big bag of money. hopefully she won't listen to this. Anyway, you can make things. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Check it out, folks. And the budget, now, speaking of big bags of money, or small bags of money, as it were, started out $2,000. No, you guys realize, I mean, this is a feature film. You're not supposed to be able to do that for that. You're not even supposed to have the idea of making a feature film for $2,000, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you know, we were very fortunate with the cast and crew. You know, like I said before, we didn't just make one movie and then be done. We wanted to build a
right.
family, you know, to come up to prove to them, like, to show them where we wanted to go. And, like, hey, come with us on this. Like, this first one, let's all just throw in our time and expertise and make something beautiful. And then let's snowball it, right? Let's build
right.
on that and keep each next film and stuff just going and going and going. So, you know, the fact that our cast and crew, you know, we basically paid them in food and good times.
Right.
I did everything I knew how to do. And if I didn't know how to do it, I'd figure out how to do it. But, you know, really the locations, you know, we wanted it to be big, believable. And, you know, like Lozen said, it's good to have good relationships. It's good to be nice to people, you know, who you meet, because you never know,
Absolutely.
You know, when you can help each other out. And so by just asking, you know, the hospital president, like, hey, I'm making a movie and there's a lot of hospital scenes. Can I use the hospital?
Right.
And, I mean, doing corporate videos, like even working for the hospital, trying to shoot in its own hospital, there's so many red flags and red tapes, like can't show this, can't show that, can't go there. And so the fact that he let us do that, and my ask originally was, hey, I need one hospital room.
Right.
It evolved into,
well, in it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, well, that the time of day that y'all are going to be there, that whole wing isn't really used. You can use it. Okay. How about the ER? Can I use the ER? Like, yeah, that wing of the ER, it's not used at that time. Maybe you can have that. And here's a gurney. How about hazmat suits? Can I? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then I asked for one, like, here's five real hazmat suits. And then.
Then they gave us the warehouse.
The warehouse scene, all of that was, from them. And the bus, I was like, hey, that transportation bus that drops people off, can we use that? He's like, yeah, you can use that. I mean, it's just, it's all about relationships and, you know, using what you have or can get access to. And I think the only location we paid for was the ambulance, just because it's a private thing, you know. But,
right.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, and that is so cool. And that brings up such a great point. I remember years ago, I was living in Southern California. I'd moved there after college. And I was approached by a local film festival, a San Diego Film Festival, got a hold of me. Somebody had seen some of my paintings, and they said, hey, we're having this film festival. You know, we have all these parties, and we have a couple celebrities that are going to be there. And could you paint these celebrities? We'd like to give them the paintings. And, you know, we'll give you a couple of the VIP pat. You can go to all the parties and everything. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, well, that's great for the website. You know, great pictures for the my website and stuff. And I did that, and it was the first film festival I'd ever been to. I'd heard the term film festival thrown around before, but I'd never been to one. And my first day there, I realized what time it was, and I immediately went and had, you know, 5,000 business cards printed that night, had to pick them up the next morning, so I had plenty of cards. And everybody at that festival got a business card. You know, I mean, I got so much work out of that, just doing that and making connections and being nice, you know, to people. And it's so true what you're saying. And I tell anybody, I don't care what business you're in, you never know, man. You could be making brownies or something. Talk to everybody and be nice to everybody, because things happen and you just never know. It really leads to other stuff. And here you are, you know. I love your story with the pulling the wagon around. The convention. Yeah. My wife goes. She's a cosplayer. She does all this, you know, dresses up like superheroes and stuff, and has a whole business doing that. Her and her sister, and they go to a lot of these conventions, and I think those conventions are fantastic. Again, meet all kinds of cool people, you know, mm-hmm. that you might possibly. I remember last year reading a story about the cats that are making The Mandalorian for Disney Plus. And they ran out of stormtroopers, so they got a hold of the local stormtrooper group from the convention, mm-hmm. the science fiction conventions. Yeah, put the word out, man. And all of a sudden, all these stormtroopers showed up in full outfits and, you know, camera-ready costumes and stuff, and saved the day. So, again, even on that, even on the Disney Star Wars level, you know, I mean, they know. That's a good resource.
Yeah, never be afraid to ask.
Oh, absolutely.
Those that attend the convention, you know, and the types of genre stuff that's there, you know, like the fandom, like they're some of the most dedicated, you know, individuals. Like they love their sci-fi, they love their anime, their Star Wars, the comic books.
They're into it.
Oh, yeah.
They are into it. I haven't been to one of those conventions in years. I used to go to the San Diego one all the time. I get free tickets because I live there, and I used to have this crazy big hair, and it's kind of funny. I remember the last one I went to, all these, you know, younger Japanese girls were following me around, and they were asking me, you know, so who are you dressed up? And I'm like, I'm not dressed up like anybody. This is just me. you know, I got a little, I need to change my look. But, you know, it's cool because, you, like you said, you build this, and they see you at the convention, and then they see you with the big booth. And everybody wants you to win, you know, that especially with that crowd. And that's amazing, man. This is amazing. Now, we've just been talking about the reality of getting to this point where the big launch is in, what, a week, right? The 16th of October?
A week to one day, yeah.
Oh, man. And now the actual film itself, I don't want to give anything away because I want everybody to watch it. But this is a cool vision, cool world. Were you just like, I don't know, were you in the shower one day, Cody, and you came up with this? How did the whole concept of, number one, filming a black and white movie, that's kind of risky, you know, it's kind of risky. That you don't see it done that often. And I really like the takeaway from it, you know, the hook, as it were, with the hue and, you know, the color. I think the last time I seen something like that was that, that movie where the kids got sucked into the TV. Pleasantville.
Yeah.
But this wasn't a take on, believe me, this world is not pleasant, ladies and gentlemen. Dystopian. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Negative utopia. And, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy. How did you come up with this idea for this?
So I wasn't in the shower. I was actually driving. I remember where I was, which is weird now that I'm thinking about that. But, you know, we're always big on, you know, stories with positive messaging and whatnot. And so, you know, thinking with that aspect of, you know, equality in the world. And I mean, again, this team, maybe 2012.
Right. So no idea about, you know, 2020 yet.
No idea.
Talk about winning the roulette at the roulette table. You know, you couldn't have planned it better. You know what I mean? Amazing. Yeah, so continue. You know, I didn't mean to interrupt. Continue on.
Oh, no, it's all good. You know, the thought of, you know, everybody in the real world are, you know, we all look different. You know, we're all different colors. We come from different places. We believe in different things. And, you know, I got thinking, if there was no literal color in the world and everything was black and white and shades of gray, you know, there'd still be lighter and darker shades of gray. Like, would there be prejudice then? And then I thought, well, wait a second, what if all of a sudden there was color in this world? They'd never seen it before. They didn't know how to explain it. And these people started turning color in this world. You know, how would those people be treated to everyone that wasn't? And I love sci-fi. Just like you explained your love for sci-fi, I'm the exact same way. I love dystopian, you know, apocalyptic stuff. And so I was like, okay, you know, and as Lozen said, it just snowballed, you know, from there, just setting it up. And, you know, this movie was supposed to just be the short, you know, the origin film that sets up the feature trilogy. And we just kept adding more story to the characters. And you find out, you know, their lives before the world goes crazy, and why the world and the governments are changing things up and doing things now that these hues are there. So it was a big evolution over the last, what was that, 7 years, 8 years? Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's you know, it's interesting. I have a friend of mine who, incidentally, is he from Dallas? Is he living in Dallas now? That's where you guys are at, right? Dallas, or are you guys in Houston?
Yeah.
Dallas. Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. One of my favorite towns. Always have a fun time whenever I'm in Dallas. but I remember a sci-fi friend of mine. I used to really be into that. Years ago, in my sordid past, I was a little bit into the rave scene and whatnot, as he was. And we were talking one day, you know, just about the world and all the zaniness that's going on. And he says, I remember you used to like all those you know, dystopian sci-fi books and everything. How do you like living in that world now? You know, he asked me, and I'm like, I don't. I like it in my entertainment. I don't like the reality. You know, I don't like it at all. And, you know, it was, but it was kind of a funny thing, and it kind of stuck with me a little bit. And you're absolutely right. You know, and when you turn it on its head like that, like you have artistically, in your movie, it's just brilliant, because it's so, it really points out the absurdity of non-equality and people that are on, you know, think that's okay. You know, it's like, really? And, you know, it's just, what a great film, especially coming out now. You know, it just couldn't have been set up better And I hope this chips away at that, you know, in our, you know, global culture. This helps with that, you know. It's amazing. It's amazing. Lowe's and Cody,
I
mean,
so.
How cool, you know. Believe me, when you're sitting down with the grandkids, you know, 30 years from now or whatever, and you know, they say, oh, yeah, you guys were around 2020. Well, the world was crazy, huh? And you're like, yeah, but we did our part. And they're like,
yeah,
oh.
Right.
You know, that's amazing. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another. A friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Well, this is very, very cool and very exciting. And it goes to show, too. I know we have a lot of people that listen to the show that want to be doing what you're doing. They want to be in that position you're in, you know. And I think you're smart, too, to tell the crew and the gang and the team, that's a better word for it, the team, hold off on buying those infinity pools till movie 3's done, you know. Then you can start getting jets and things of that nature. But let's put the money back into it. And
right.
I think that's a smart plan, you know, smart plan. Now, one of the things I also like, now here they are, on a shoestring budget. Now, folks, I have talked to people that have made movies for much bigger budgets and whatnot. They don't have a website. They barely have an IMDb page, you know. Monochrome Macronio has that. They have a fantastic website. Cody, you've got a fantastic website. I am blown away by it. And they've got all the social media and everything. We have links up to all of this, ladies and gentlemen, our show page. Very easy to find, movie.monochromeworld.com. You can get right to it and check it out. Do you have a background, Cody, in, like, web stuff as well among your many talents? Or Lozen, were you on this?
That's all him.
No, I gotcha.
No, I mean, I've got a background. I mean, I've, you know, having to support your art passion, you know, a day job is what you have to do at times. And so, yeah, I mean, I've worked corporate commercial stuff, you know, graphic design, web design, and marketing, that sort of stuff. And, you know, I just didn't want to hold back when it came to us, you know, doing this project and
right.
do, you know, as best we can reach as many as possible with, you know, with the different avenues. So that's what we're trying
well,
to do.
Well, I'm telling you, man, it's amazing. And it there's a thing. I used to do a little bit of real estate investing way back in the day, a million years ago. And there was one thing that somebody told me back then was, they said, you really need to, you know, stance is very important. And I'm like, what the hell does stance mean? What are you talking about? How I stand? And they're like, metaphorically speaking, you know, how you present. And this, if you look at just the website and whatnot, and, you know, even the trailer, when we, you know, we put the trailer out there, this looks like some money was spent. this has a great stance. I'm very, very impressed with this. And
thank you.
It just really is. Yeah, man, you could teach a Learning Annex class or something on what to do. It's amazing. It's amazing. And there's so many people that don't know what to. And you know, and I'm not throwing, as they say today, I'm not throwing shade at anybody. But I am saying that you want to be professional, and you know, especially if you're trying to do something professional. And Cody and Lozen have it down, man. This is great. This is fantastic. So now let me. I know we're running out of time here, but you guys are just fascinating to talk to, and I want to. They might have you guys stacked today with other interviews, so I want to move it along. One of the other things, real quick. I think it was brilliant to submit this to all these festivals because you've got all these accolades and whatnot. And I know sometimes that can't be an easy thing to do because I don't know if people know or not, when you submit to festivals, it ain't just sending your movie out, man. That usually involves writing a check too each time you send it out.
Right.
And that can, especially if you're on tight budget, you know, that's like, oh, do we really need to spend this money? I think it really paid off in you guys' case because everybody, it got in front of eyes and people dig it. And that's got to be cool, too, from an artistic point of view when people are liking what you're doing, you know? They're getting it.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about
festivals? I mean, the festivals, sorry. I mean, and Lozen can probably speak to this, but our, you know, we had a bunch of our local ones just, you know, all the cast and crew were here, you know, locally in DFW, Texas. And so obviously we submitted to the big ones, right?
But
you know, the competition these days, just it's crazy. And we knew going in, like, initially the film was 61 minutes. So it was a shorter feature, and those are, you know, a little harder to program. And we actually went back last August and filmed some extended scenes, and now it's 73 minutes. But some of the festivals are some of the best times, you know, not that we had major exposure to anyone, but the other filmmakers and individuals that we met and the times that we shared, like, that's priceless. And just, you know, communicating with them, staying in touch, you know, maybe working on stuff with them later on. You know, it's those relationships, you know, just going back to, you know, forging that and being kind to everyone. And, yeah.
No,
what do you think,
it's
Lozen?
Amazing, man.
I agree. For someone that I don't really like accolades. I think, else's opinion and stuff. And whatnot. So I was definitely torn on the idea, but the fact is, you know, you have to know your community. You need to get to know people because those are going to be representatives for you later. They're going to be someone that you collaborate with. And, you know, I'm really glad that we did go the film festival route, and probably the highlight of that was World Fest. That's one of the longest standing sci-fi, festivals, and we were sitting there thinking, you know, it's a very prestigious place to be in there. And we were in a room full of people, and we were thinking, you know, we would get, you know, a good job or whatever award. And then we ended up taking home the biggest award that you could get, you know, and it was funny because we were looking at each other. And we're like, were we really supposed to be here? We were ready to get up because we thought maybe it was a mistake. Maybe they didn't mean to invite us because they only invite winners. And right at the very end, it's the announcement for the biggest award. And they announced our name, and we were just kind of like, oh, my gosh. I'm definitely glad we went that route.
That's awesome. And, you know, good thing you got gussied up that night, you know. And I'm talking to you, Cody. See, there you go. don't send me emails, everybody. No, I get what you're saying, Liz. And, I, you know, I'm an old punk rocker. I feel the same way, you know. I mean,
right.
One of the things that I love more than anything is when people tell me I can't do something. I'm like, oh, thank you, because,
right.
I needed that. Stand back, watch what happens. But yeah, I get you, you know, but it is nice. Like I said, when you put in such hard work and people dig what you're doing, they get it. Man, I've had a lot of projects where that wasn't the case. You know, I've missed the mark, at least with that particular audience, and have to course correct. But you know, it's so cool. And this is such a great film. Like we said, folks, a week out. Now, of course, whenever we have a show or something or a band or whatever on the show that has a upcoming premiere date, I will be blasting that out come the 16th on all my social media just to remind everybody. But can they pre-order now? That's the question I wanted to – if they can, let's get people doing that.
So tomorrow, actually, since it'll be a week out exactly tomorrow we're opening the pre-orders for the DVD. So on the website, if you go there tomorrow, you'll be able to pre-order the DVD.
Nice.
And then, you know, Amazon will open up on the 16th, as well as our Patreon will be the digital version on that.
Oh,
as well.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I'm excited. I'm excited. And here you guys are doing it, man. You're doing it. This is amazing. I am just so excited, and I'm excited for new sci-fi content. I was just telling a friend of mine, I don't think there's anything that I haven't seen science fiction. You know, it is. I'm just one of those types of people. But so I'm very excited, and I'm very excited. This is definitely going to be one of those cool films that everybody knows about, and I want everybody just to get on that pre-order tomorrow, man. Very, very cool. And the cool thing with getting a DVD, ladies and gentlemen, is, you know, Cody and Lozen already said they're hanging out at festivals and stuff like that and cons and everything. So what that means is you get the DVD, then you go, you know, you follow them on their social media and web pages and whatnot, and you find out where they're going to be, and, you know, then you take the DVD and get them to sign it. And if you ever fall on hard times, well, then you can go to the Pawn Stars and say, hey, I have a signed, you know, copy of this film, and they'll give you $10,000, and you know, the farm will
there
be
you
saved.
Go.
It'll be wonderful.
It would be nice.
There you go. And Cody and Lozen will be in their infinity pool, and they'll realize they've helped out somewhere. No, I'm teasing, but this is amazing. Now, of course, now that you have the infrastructure complete, the world built, and whatnot. I imagine the upcoming films, are you going to put, well, not 4 years in between, I would imagine, but I imagine those gears are already turning, right, for the second installment?
Yeah, so this one was actually pulled from the initial screenplay because it takes place kind of before Color's introduced, so it was in flashback form, and so basically we pulled out all the flashbacks, you know, added to it, and that's what this movie became. So the original screenplay, which is the next film, it's actually done. It's wrote. We're making notes and tweaking a couple things, and then we'll start pre-production, hopefully soon. But yeah, we definitely don't want this much time to lapse. You know, things come up in the personal world, and that go on, but now, you know, like you said, that things have kind of been established, and we've learned so much along the way, and what to do, what not to do, or how to do it correctly. We're hoping to streamline, you know, that process. But yeah, the next film is completely wrote, and I mean, considering it's a continuation, we already have it casted for the most part because they were
there
already in the first one, right? And then another thing we had mentioned, I'll let Lozen speak on this real quickly, is we also have a spinoff comic book as well.
Really?
Yeah. What? So we got to know our fan base and stuff. And, you know, one night I asked Cody, I was like, what would you think about having a comic book? Because we've got all these characters, and I'd really like to do – I grew up with comic books, love comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see that. I wanted to be able to bring something like that to this world. And we do have our spinoff. We have a comic book that is available. And the cool thing about that is we asked our fans to create it for us. So they got a page out of the comic book. They would illustrate it in their own mediums, their own style. And then we put them together to create the comic book. So it goes back to that underlying message of just you know, all these different walks of life, you know, doing something,
right,
putting something out there and working together and doing it for a good cause.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And I'm so pleased to hear, you know, that's such a powerful statement in itself right there. Wow. And they've already got the second one in place, man. You know, if James Cameron's listening, I'm just saying, you know, Avatar came out in 2009, man. Come on.
Right.
It's been 11 years, and you're James Cameron. I think you have a little more resources to work with. Anyhow, I'm kidding, of course. I'm sure James is working hard right now as we speak. But that's amazing. Listen, I like that. I like that idea and having the different – and I agree with you. Comics are fantastic and have really come into their own, you know. Graphic novels, you know, people mention that with their pinkies out a little bit now. And even comics, you know, it's very, very cool. That's exciting. That is exciting. So – and it's a cool world. It's a good idea. I love it. It's just such a good idea, you know, such a good idea. Well, that's amazing, man. Well, I'm going to tell you, I know I've kept you guys, you know, I can see the light blinking at me. But I'm going to tell you this in case no one said it to you today yet. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because you're real, real good at it. This film rocks. I want everybody to see it and, you know, check it out, everybody. It's so cool. It's very powerful. Very powerful, you know. It makes you think.
Thank you.
And I like that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. I can't wait to have you guys on again when the second installment's ready to drop, you know?
Right.
Heck yeah.
That is awesome.
That is awesome.
And I'm glad you guys are working with the fine folks over there at October Coast. They are cool, turned up to 10. We have a link to them up
on
our show page as well, ladies and gentlemen. If you need some help on the digital PR side of things, well, they're good to have in your corner. Real good people, Clint and the gang. Very, very cool. Well, guys, just keep doing it. I'm going to follow you and just keep, seeing what's happening and whatnot. And also, I noticed on the, I don't know if it was your page or I think it was your Facebook page. I got the link to your the Patreon page. You can get all kinds of cool stuff if you join, ladies and gentlemen. And there's different tiers there, 3, 9, and 20. That's nothing, you know. And you can get all kinds of different content that, you know, nobody else is getting. So if you want to be part of the cool crowd, get over there to the Tempest Studios Dallas-Fort Worth Patreon. Very, very cool. Keep doing it, guys.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
We will.
Thank you.
It's amazing. Absolutely. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Like I said, I know we went a little long. I apologize about that. But this episode will be dropping as a podcast in about an hour. We'll be pushed out on all the various social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. We are on a ton of them. We're on like 250 of them. I didn't even know there was that many podcasting platforms, but there are. There's even more, and we're coming to those soon. The big ones, of course, are, you know, we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, what's the other one? Oh, Spotify. Somebody might have heard of that. It's a new little thing. No, it's a big thing, folks. But, yeah, and so what that means, since we're on all these platforms, if you have the little Google, I don't know what they're called, that little round thing. We have them in our house all over the place. But you might have Alexa in your home. You can just say, hey, play the Pop Rock Radio podcast, and they will. It's the future today. How about that? Very, very
That's
cool.
Right.
We will see everybody. I'm telling you, man. We will see everybody tomorrow. And so keep doing what you're doing, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you then. Very, very cool. Cody Zine. Cody, I'm saying that right. Right? Zine?
Yep.
Is that right? No, I'm saying it. Cool,
Zine.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
And Lozen Fukum. Very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the movie Monochrome. Sign up for that, you know, the early pre-order tomorrow. We will see you next time, ladies and gentlemen. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.